Welcome back to A Slut's Guide to Happiness, where your body is perfectly imperfect, and it's safe to be as sexual, kinky, queer, or slutty as you want. Today, I will be talking with a dear friend and a caring goofball and wicked smart pro-dom, sex-positive educator, and the chief learning officer of Cliff Media, Hazel Havoc.
Hey, everyone.
We're going to be discussing the intersection of BDSM impact and the energy that your body, your mind, and your spirit experience during the impact play. And this lady has a lot to say and a lot of experience with some serious impact and also thinking about it really critically for the well-being of people and their experience. But first, I want to take a quick minute to share a message from one of our supporters. A kinky pansexual friend in the Cliff Media Network runs a queer reimagining of the Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts series. Yeah.
You're messing up, right?
Being kind of silly. So if that's you too, this is a great place to level up your dressing game at Auror Mercantile. They produce official looking badges for all wizarding professions. So if you want to be proper, I can barely pronounce some of these names. So if you're a Potterhead, you're going to have to help me. There's Aurors, Magic Zoologists, Obliviators, Certified Healers, Wand Makers. This is definitely... Oh.
Those are right.
Oh, girl knows. I didn't even know she knows. This is one of the worlds where, like, if you know, you know. So, top secret news, y'all. This summer, Cliff Media headquarters is moving to Portland. And coincidentally, Auror Mercantile will be here July 5th to 7th for LeakyCon. So come check it out, the Oregon Convention Center. Or we might be there too. Who knows? And in the meantime, you can go support our queer companions at Auror Mercantile and save 10% by using code CLIFF10 at checkout at Auror Mercantile. That's A-U-R-O-R mercantile.etsy.com. All right. Hazel, I'm so glad to talk with you today.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to have to check out Auror Mercantile. I didn't know they made official Harry Potter gear.
You can be official. Just like how you're official when you're in impact. We did a scene where she was wearing a hat because she was an official professor. It was like, I'm going to listen to that professor.
Hey, I'm just saying, like, a cane looks an awful lot like a wand.
So this is true.
Just saying.
So Hazel, can you tell us about the first time that you experienced, and I'm gonna drop these words and then we'll unpack them later, but top space or subspace?
Yeah. So for me, it's been top space. Mm-hmm. And top space for me, man, the first time I experienced it, it felt like I was floating, you know, like being high or drunk without being in any of those spaces at all. Uh-huh. In fact, like in order to do BDSM, I think you should be pretty sober. Uh-huh. And so to experience these feelings of euphoria, these feelings of like magnanimity, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're so like almost larger than life. Mm-hmm. And that experience for me happened. I was playing with this dear friend of mine, probably this bottom I've worked with has taught me more than any person I've probably worked with. Deep masochist and just able to take all the pain.
She liked the pain.
He
likes the pain.
He loves it. He loves it. So I was working with him and we were just getting so intense. And I realized at some point that I was just dripping sweat. I was dripping sweat. And I was like, wait, why is my body sore? Why am I tired? And I looked at the clock and we had been at it for some 2 hours straight. Wow. I was just straight either flogging or paddling or going from one to the other. Yeah. So just all these various forms of impact that were coming together. And the time flew. And that was the first experience for me where working with impact shrunk time, right? It made it shorter.
You're just in flow.
Yeah.
We're just really focused on what you're doing.
Yeah, just in this flow headspace that felt so euphoric. And
his euphoria too, right? Like the emotions that he was feeling from the subspace that he was in, that helps to feed the top space that I was in as well. And vice versa, it became like a circular type thing that we were in, right? Where my emotions can play off of his and my hormones can play and they feed off of one another. And it becomes this beautiful space where the higher I go, the higher they can go. And the deeper into those subspace levels that they can, that we can play in.
Yeah. I love that even if someone is outside and looking at it and they just see a flogger flogging, that is so much, there's so much more going on. There's many more levels happening there at that moment.
Yes. There's so much more going on than just a flogger flying through the air.
Yeah.
When you're talking about BDSM and impact in particularly, you're talking about like a physical impact with the tool or your hands, whatever it is that you're using, right? I'm taking my energy and I am physically putting it into you. So if you think about it as like a vibrational thing, right? Like all humans at a core level vibrate, right? We all vibrate. So if I am hitting you, I am literally changing your vibration and I'm changing it depending on the rhythms that I'm using, the intensity that I'm hitting you with, the object, the materials that I'm using. They all interplay in how that energy gets transferred from the person who's hitting you, me in this case, right, into your body and then how your body absorbs it. It's going to feel different with a flogger that is made out of really soft lambskin versus a flogger that's synthetic and made of something that's a lot stiffer, right? Those feel different and they transfer energy differently into your body.
Yeah. That's really interesting because I think a lot of people look at that array of sex toys or impact play toys and think, oh, this is going to just, it's about whether or not it feels nice or whether or not it leaves marks, but it's actually, there's something so much deeper. Before we dive into those details, I want to take a minute to talk about these words that we're using and also talk about a general concept. So I have definitely been in what feels like subspace. I know that experience that you're describing from the other side of losing time. But so what does that mean? What do those words mean for you when you're entering top or subspace?
What that means for me, it has to do with a lot of hormones, actually, a lot of chemical responses that's going on in your body. So when people experience it, right, it can be experienced as euphoria. It can be experienced as sort of this floating type of experience. Sometimes people almost feel almost out of body. Some people get very calm, very relaxed. But what's happening inside of your body is actually a hormonal response. We're playing with your nervous system. That's what we're doing. When we talk about putting energy into people and changing the vibration in people, we're talking about your nervous system. So when I'm hitting your nervous system, it's telling your body that you should feel pain, right? That's the first response. And when we feel pain, then the second response to that is to send pleasure responses to that area because we want it to feel better, right?
The body's protecting itself.
Yes. So the more you hit at that, right, the more you hit the same spots, the more you play with that chemical response, the more your body starts getting confused about what's happening and what's going on. And it starts to release chemicals like your endorphins and all those feel-good hormones, right? But not only that, it starts to release things like adrenaline. Right. And the ones that start making your heart go faster. Right. And that way, then when you start noticing the person you're working with, their body starts to tense up or their heart start beating faster or their breathing start to accelerate. That's when you start playing with the softer side of sensation and pain. When you're talking about impact, it's not just pain and everything hurting, right? Impact is also softer, right? It's a range of sensation. And so you play with all those ranges and the body starts getting confused. Kind of like if you've ever done like cold and hot water therapy and you jump from the hot pool to the cold pool and then you go outside and it's 30 degrees and you don't know why you're not shivering, your body is confused. And this is what's happening with impact. Your body is sending off all of these hormonal responses so quickly.
Yeah.
And it's getting the pleasure hormones as well as those stress hormones. And it's
putting you into a space that is this headspace that's just this chemically induced floating type of headspace.
Mm. I love that you are explaining it in such a technical and physiological way that you are aware of the what is happening mm-hmm. on the body level. I think for me, often I'm just like, I am so deep in this, so horny, like I will do anything you say, give it to me, guys, more. As a top, I think that you are really conscientious of your responsibility mm-hmm. And the potential that you have, like you're describing, that when someone is experiencing those reactions, that's also contributing to a series of emotions that are attached.
Yeah.
That maybe that brings up like the fight or flight kind of responses. Yeah. Or
you're definitely playing with the part of the nervous system that has everything to do with the fight, flight, freeze, fuck, all those responses. You're playing with it. Mm-hmm. And people, when they have trauma, mm-hmm. right? And trauma lives in the body. We know that the body keeps the score, right? Which is a great book, if you remember.
The body keeps the score. Great it's amazing.
Book.
Yes.
Great book. We know that. We know that that happens. And so when you're hitting places on the body, it is unleashing sometimes stored trauma, sometimes some of that stored energy. Uh-huh. And so that's part of, and we'll talk about this in another podcast, when you're talking with people before in pre-scene negotiations, we ask those questions, right? Mm-hmm. Is there some trauma that you've ever been through? Like, what's that like? Have you had a traumatic experience? Mm-hmm. Or even just asking if they've had a BDSM mm-hmm. experience where trauma came up. Mm-hmm. What happened for them? What was the response that happened? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you can't always pre-plan uh-huh. when trauma will appear, mm-hmm. but you need to know how does the person respond and what are they going to need in that moment?
Right.
And you need to know what those responses can look like and how it would be different. Mm-hmm. So I worked with a woman, and she typically is very giggly and very bubbly. Mm-hmm. And so I know that if those start to go away, something's happening for her, and I should probably check in. Mm-hmm. And a check-in can be a verbal check-in. It can be like a physical check-in. It could be a time where we just kind of, have some lower intensity. Mm-hmm. But we do some kind of check-in if I see some sort of drastic change from how they normally are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. And that to check in to confirm, is this change desirable? Is it consensual? Is it feeling safe? Because for me, sometimes when I go into subspace, in my normal life, I am that kind of giggly, extroverted, talking like goofy. And then when I'm in subspace, I'm just like, right. And with the right person, when feeling safe enough, losing that part of myself and going into a different part of myself feels good.
Yeah.
But it's like the top has to do that check-in and know.
Yeah, they do. And they also need to know too that subspace, when your bottom is entering into subspace, lots of times they'll become nonverbal. Mm-hmm. So if their normal state is a really talkative sort of bubbly thing, right? Mm-hmm. And they're starting to become nonverbal, that could be a cue that they're entering subspace. Mm-hmm. And even just kind of knowing that, okay, now we need to ask some sort of yes or no questions. They're not going to be able to answer in full sentences. They're getting into the space where we want them to be, but also we need to be aware that this is also a space that's very fragile.
Yeah.
It's a space that it's very sacred. It's a sacred space. I remember with the first time that I came out of top space mm-hmm. and realized just how sort of euphoric it was. And it made me realize really just kind of like, how humble it made me that that this is a space that people trust me to take them to.
Yeah.
And not only trust me, but like want me to take them there.
Yeah.
And that felt very humbling after that.
Yeah. I remember an instance where with a partner that I trusted very much, role-playing a previous sexual trauma, and in a way that like I did cry, but that was a positive release. Like it felt like it finally moved it through the body. And I imagine that can be hard. And also I'm interested in how, when you're facilitating that kind of energy movement with people where it can get really intense, how do you hold that in your body? Like, how does that impact you in top space?
Yeah. Yeah. So part of it is knowing that you have to let it happen. Mm-hmm. Right. And for me, when I see energy moving like that through somebody, I feel almost a sense of pride.
Yeah.
Like my work helped this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel proud of the work that I do, yeah. But I feel a genuine sense of joy mm-hmm. for the person that I'm working with, mm-hmm. that this is something that they get to experience and that they trusted me enough to let them go there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, it's humbling,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. You trusted me with your body, with your mind, with your emotions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
With your physical energy. Mm-hmm. Like it, yeah. You trusted me with everything. And now here we are, and you're able to really move this energy through your body. I had one person one time tell me after a session that it felt like she went to therapy and working out. Like her body felt exhausted and yeah. her mind felt like just purified is what she said.
Yeah. I was at a kink workshop.
Yeah.
It was a BDSM workshop open to everyone. So there were some people who were super new and they had not experienced this idea, but they were open to it. And they asked, you know, a novice, but real question, is there really anyone who likes receiving kink, likes receiving pain? And I think one of the things that's really powerful about what you're describing is that it is a healing profession, or if it's in a partner setting, it is a very deeply intimate and generous exchange mm-hmm. that when done right, mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
And that you are giving so much to the person.
Yeah.
While doing this in practice.
Yeah. Somebody told me once, it was during a session, and they elaborated after, but during the session, they kept saying, I'm so grateful,
mm-hmm.
right? Just over and over, I'm so grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked about that later, they explained it as like they were grateful that they got to have this experience that to work through the things that they needed to work through, that they could just be in their body and feel the things happening in their body, that it made them feel in a way that they don't usually get to feel.
Yeah.
And I hear that from a lot of people, mm-hmm. From a lot of people I work with, is that what they love the most is that it puts them in their body.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to float out and be, you know, daydreaming about 5 years down the line. They don't get to be thinking about what happened 4 days ago or ruminating over whatever it is we ruminate on.
Yeah.
You have to be present in your body with your mind, like your soul, everything has to be present in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And people get really grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not something we get to do very often.
Yes. It's meditative. Yeah. It's like turns off that monkey mind. And I think about sometimes in the kink role play where
yeah.
someone who's giving empaths says, say thank you for the spankings, and sometimes that's silly and playful, and sometimes that, like you're describing, mm-hmm. that's real, because that feels good mm-hmm. to be able to express that and to be brought into that space where you get to turn off that anxiety yeah. and all that stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit more. Maybe I'm interested in diving into this because I don't have this experience. But what is the energy that you get as a top? Because you're describing a lot of what you're giving. How does it feed you?
Man, how it feeds me, gosh, if I feel it in, I feel it in my chest is mm-hmm. where I feel most of the energy. And it feels like this overwhelming sort of joy mm-hmm. is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's playful and it gives me energy,
mm-hmm.
right? So the longer I work with somebody, the more energetic I will tend to become, because mm-hmm. I tend to be feeding off of how deep they get into subspace.
Uh-huh.
And the feeling of, and it's, gosh, it's such, it's hard to, because it's a false sense of control, right? But the idea that I am powerful in this mm-hmm. moment, that somebody has given me this power and this control over their body and their mind, even if it's temporary,
mm-hmm.
even if in a moment they could change the whole thing and say red and the scene's done,
right?
Even though they can do all of that, in that moment, though, they are trusting me.
Yeah.
And that feels like a gift.
Yeah,
it feels like one of the biggest gifts I think somebody can give to somebody else mm-hmm. is to say, like, here's my body.
Yeah.
Here's my physical body. Here's my
you know, my spirit, and I trust you with it.
Yeah. All those hormones and emotions and traumas and experiences that are attached to that body that they're giving you, they're giving you that vulnerability to say, I am trusting that you see when I'm starting to go down a certain path, that you will help to carry me in a way that is emotionally and physically safe. That is an enormous sense of gift. And that shows that as you're building that up, that's a huge sense of responsibility, which makes me think of that part that happens after. And it's, you know, it's not just you need to kink. Like if you run a marathon afterwards, you have to take care of your body and your mind a little bit. And so
aftercare.
right. So what does that look like, both coming out of subspace and top space?
So for coming out of subspace, I'll start with that one because I feel like I'm better at that one. Coming out of subspace, it when I help people come out of subspace, I try to do it gently. Mm-hmm. So I try to give people time, right? Because it's a transition. It took time to get there. It's going to take time to get back. So I do a couple things. One is I try to be very grounding. Mm-hmm. So I put a lot of energy in my hands on physical parts of the body to try to ground energy into their body, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So like into their feet, into their shoulders, into their head. I really try to just put energy that is still. Mm-hmm. So instead of that active hitting energy, it's energy that is still and calm. And I try to do deep breathing because usually by the end of sessions, usually our breathing is pretty well synchronized.
Because you're doing so much energy exchange and consciousness of each other.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because we've spent the time together and like we've been in that flow together. Yeah. And to get into that flow space, that's usually something that ends up happening. Mm-hmm. So I slow our breathing down, get very audible about that, slow it down even deeper. Mm-hmm. One thing that I really like to do is put a blanket over somebody because people can get very cold coming mm-hmm. out of subspace. Your skin gets very hot during impact. Mm-hmm. So when you stopped receiving impact, all of a sudden you can feel very cold. Mm-hmm. So I like to put a blanket over people and I like to put it over their whole body from mm-hmm. their feet to their head. Mm-hmm. And then slowly start to like pull the blanket off of them. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like this being reborn sort of feeling.
Yeah, because you're coming back from a different universe.
And then once they're kind of out from the blanket and their head is revealed, then be talking to me like, hey, welcome back. But really like a formal sort of greeting, like come back to the world, right? Come back. Welcome back to us.
It really feels like meditation, like when you ring the bell and it's time to come back out of wherever your mind went in that space.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 So that's one thing. Those are some things I try to do to help people get out of subspace. Because some things that I've heard with people in subspace is they don't want to be rushed out of it. Mm-hmm. And that when they are rushed, that it cuts the experience short. Uh-huh. So I don't ever want that to be a thing. Mm-hmm. For me, for top space, it feels like a wave that I like to ride. Mm-hmm. I can't be too high when I'm helping people come out of subspace. But I like to maintain, right, this higher amount of energy because I'm still putting energy into your body.
Yeah.
Right. I'm helping to ground you. I'm like putting my hands on you. I'm putting my weight on you. So for me to really come out of a top space really requires time. A lot of time, mm-hmm. And requires some sort of sitting or calmness, mm-hmm. Because what has to happen is my body's physical tiredness mm-hmm. has to catch up with like mm-hmm. the energetic high that I'm on mm-hmm. because there are different levels. Yeah. My body after a session is exhausted.
Yeah.
But I won't feel that uh-huh. immediately because I'm so high mm-hmm. in this top space. So the top space really has to come down first and meet where my body is at for me to be like, oh, okay, I need to sit now. Uh-huh.
It's interesting that part of your role is getting the sub deeply into top space. Into subspace, into their body. Whereas you are kind of going into top space, into your head and thinking about all the things that are going on and taking care of this person that you are in impact play with. Mm-hmm. And so you have to come back into your body. And it's like you're having a swapped experience.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Which is interesting, right? That's like the balance to it, mm-hmm. right? There's always a balance or an opposite there.
Yeah. And then, so my last question I want to explore for people who are preparing to go into impact or who have done it, but want to be really conscientious of energy exchange, this power, and use it in a way that is as caring and intimate and healing as possible as the people want to go. What are some of your recommendations for how to prepare for that, what to do before in the moment or in the weeks leading up to it, and what to do through the scene that helps to make it a safe, positive healing experience?
Yeah. So I would say if you're brand new and you're just wanting to get into it, one, start small. Don't try to be like, I want to do paddles and whips and other
things. Freak out all the things. Let's go dungeons.
All the things. You'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
I'll start small.
And also identify the parts of your body that you want to be hit in, mm-hmm. right? Do you want to be hit in your butt, but not necessarily on your shoulders, right? And if you're not sure, start with some spankings, right? Start with some spankings. Most people can start with playful spankings with either on the butt or even like little massage hits on the shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. Most people can do that. And start with, you don't have to go hard on the pain scale. You don't have to come out and forcefully hit somebody for the first time. You can start softly and build up. Do that. Remember, it's play. You're playing. So in order to know where you're playing, you need to know what your boundaries are. And that can be hard to figure out if you've never done it before. Okay. So being with a partner that you trust, and then knowing the words to say when you're reaching some boundaries. So if you're not sure what you like with spankings, that's fine. You can still play if you have a partner that you trust. If you're using your words, I like to use green, yellow, and red, right? Green is go, go, go. I love this. This is great. I keep going. Go harder. Do more. Yellow is like, whoa, slow this down. This is getting a little much.
Right.
This area is a little sensitive, and red is stop. Right. So you can start figuring out what some of those are with your partner by using your words. Right. And if you're using one tool, or even if you're just using your hand and a tool, so let's say you're doing spankings and flogging, play with those. Right. And play with what it feels like to be spanked at what your top feels like, a level 7 and a level 5 and a level 4. I think that's one thing too, that when you are new to hitting people and you're talking about how hard you want people to hit you, people don't always have the same pain scale. And so knowing what does a 7 feel like for you and your body as a top, what does a 5 feel like, and how do you describe that to people so that they can know and have an idea of what you're talking about when you're talking about, oh, I like to play between the 5 to 7 range.
right.
That can feel different.
It sounds like one of the core pieces as you're getting started, whether that's in general getting started with kink or getting started with a new partner, is there's more verbal communication at the beginning, and then you can lead into the intuition and the visual observations of what the other person is experiencing.
There should always be a lot of verbal communication in the beginning, even with experienced partners. Having verbal communication and reviewing even basic stuff is going to be good and healthy to do. I mean, like I talked about the guy that I worked with, who's one of my oldest play partners. We still start with, hey, remember, red, yellow, green. These are our words, because it's good to always put that stuff first. You don't want to get into a routine where you forget basics.
Yes.
So no matter how long you've been playing with somebody, use those verbal cues, especially if you've been having a long relationship and you're playing in new realms, or if you're introducing a new toy, or you're trying something new. You definitely want to get used to having those verbal things in there.
That's beautiful. And I just... you know, there are some days, some weeks, like the world just feels messed up. Like life is hard. I just want to be hit.
Yeah.
And so I am just grateful for the work that you do. Right. Like you take care of people. Right. Like you invite people into a space that is healing, that is conscientious of their needs, both for body, mind, and spirit, because it is like you're describing, you just there are so many different pieces of energy that you are giving,
yeah,
that you're giving to them, and then you have to ground yourself back into your body because you have put your focus so much into that other person.
Yeah.
So Hazel, thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much Thanks for sharing me. For sharing this wisdom with us. And we are going to continue talking lots more, especially around this idea of boundaries and negotiation in kink and in porn and all kinds of sexual settings, because that is so, so key to the difference between something that is a traumatic negative experience versus something that is positive, life-giving, and healing. So thank you, listeners, so much for joining us. Once again, if you love being silly, dressing up, nerdy cosplaying, don't forget to support our queer companions at Aura Mercantile. You can save 10% by using code CLIFF10 at checkout. That's A-U-R-O-R, mercantile.etsy.com. This has been another edition of A Slut's Guide to Happiness with your host, Vanessa Cliff, and our amazing guest, Hazel Havoc. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple and Spotify, as well as on VanessaCliff.com. I encourage you to like and share this podcast and stay tuned for more deep, sexy, spiritual deep dives, beautiful, messy, fun dives into the waters of sex and joy. If you're over 18, you can also check out our video content on our website, VanessaCliff.com. And most of all, I invite you to join us in the pleasure of being awkwardly human, naked, and without pretense. Let's give free.